I'm confident most of us have had the experience of encountering someone who looks like someone we know, but we aren't really sure. In the moment, we're torn about what to do. On the one hand, not wanting to appear to snub someone we might know, and at the same time, not wishing to make fools out of ourselves by approaching someone who isn't who we think it is. Sometimes the best strategy is simply to take the initiative and cross paths in an obvious way with the person somehow. If he or she recognizes you, then they'll say or do something, and you can move ahead. Otherwise, they'll simply ignore you, and you'll be spared embarrassment. And that's the situation as the gospel opens. Jesus recognizes the disciples, but they're not so sure about him. So Jesus does something they'll be sure to recognize. Helping out with fish was, after all, how he met Peter in the first place. Peter takes the bait, so to speak, and the dialogue moves on. How do we recognize the resurrected Jesus when he takes the initiative and shows up in Avon these days? It isn't a pointless question, since ours is a Eucharistic community that receives the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ on a regular basis. It's not unreasonable to propose that people should be able to recognize Jesus in all of us somehow. Arguably, it's easiest to recognize Jesus in our poor, disabled, and suffering neighbors. Other times, we recognize Jesus in those taking the initiative to help those suffering people. No one is likely to say they actually saw Jesus in the flesh, though. Our response is the quiet response of faith. Recognizing the risen Jesus in our interior experience is somewhat different. For instance, each of us gets the opportunity to recognize him in the Eucharist at Mass. There's a physical element here to be sure, but our response is still largely one of faith. We trust that Jesus told us the truth about himself in the Eucharist, and that's quite good enough for us. At other times, our interior experience of the risen Christ is in the silent space of contemplative prayer. Or perhaps you've had moments like this, when you're just quietly sitting there, perhaps with your eyes closed, and the presence of Jesus is so palpable, it feels as if you can reach out and touch him. No words are exchanged, nor is there anything physical or visionary about it, but we recognize just then that the risen Jesus has somehow taken the initiative and enveloped us in a way we could never have dreamt up on our own. It's pure gift, and all we can really do is to be open to it. Sometimes the experience of the risen Jesus can be pretty dramatic. People nearing death often report personal encounters with someone they recognize intuitively to be Jesus. Exactly what's going on there is anyone's guess, but it seems at these times that the risen Jesus has once again taken the initiative and given people exactly what they needed just then. But every so often Jesus unmistakably shows up in person, manifesting himself in real time with and through us in a jaw-dropping way. I hope you get to experience something like this, because you will then recognize something deeply true about the meaning of your own life, the ways of God, and the nature of resurrection. Maybe, like me, you already have. Let me tell you what happened one such time. You might remember the terrible snowstorms we had a few years ago when all the electricity went out and didn't come back for weeks. As all that began, I was working a sleepless overnight shift as the lone chaplain at Hartford Hospital. In the middle of it all, a man passed away in one of the ICUs, and the family requested that a chaplain come up. About an hour or so later, I got to the ICU, where I was greeted by a woman and her husband, who were not pleased that it had been over an hour since they'd called. As is my custom, I expressed sorrow and asked them to tell me about the man who had passed away. It seems he had been the woman's younger brother. She'd lost her only other sibling 6 months earlier and was now all alone. Her brother had suffered terribly during his life, with cancer, heart problems, diabetes, amputations, and many other ailments. He'd been a lovely, gentle man of faith, though, and he'd accepted his suffering without anger or complaint. Both the woman and her husband were furious and demanded to know why God permitted such suffering. I remember praying, "This one's all yours, Jesus." Apparently that was fine with Jesus, for what happened next was nothing I could ever have come up with on my own. As the woman finished speaking, I watched with surprise as my arms went up all by themselves. I agreed that her brother had suffered terribly during his life, just as Jesus had on the cross. Then I listened to myself ask if they would like to see where he was right now. The instant those words came out of my mouth, all the alarms went off inside. "What did you say that for, genius?" I screamed at myself. "What are you going to do now, part disguise?" They looked at me warily, but saw that I was between them and the door, so they nodded cautiously. Then I watched as my arms gestured for them to approach me, as I heard a voice come from someplace way down deep within say, "Right now, your brother's head rests on the heart of Jesus, just like this." I gently held their heads against my own heart for a few moments, and then just as gently released them. The husband, who had been angry, was in tears. His wife had a Cheshire Cat grin on her face that said with joy, "Of course, that's exactly where he is." In that moment, I suddenly recognized that my words and gestures had not been mine at all, nor had they been just me acting out some way I imagined Jesus might have behaved. No way. I recognized with dazzling clarity and profound awe that Jesus had taken the initiative, in person, in the present tense, working utterly independently yet physically through and with me, giving this couple exactly the consolation he knew they needed just then. Later that night, the couple passed me in the lobby on the way to get their car. As they passed, they waved and smiled. Typical behavior for those who just lost a loved one? No. But they knew who they'd really encountered that night, and you too might recognize it as perfectly normal behavior for people whose paths have just been crossed by the resurrected Jesus himself.